Four, please. Now, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Four, Please, Now Driving, the official Masters podcast. I'm your host, Marty Smith. This is Sunday, April 14th. On today's episode, we'll break down Tiger Woods' historic fifth victory in the Masters tournament with the voice of Masters Digital and NBC broadcaster Jimmy Roberts. And I try my very best to encapsulate what the moment was like, what the experience felt like, for those of us blessed enough to be here on the grounds, not just the patrons, but also Woods competitors. What an amazing day. So without delay, let's turn off of Washington Road, proceed down the famed Magnolia Lane, and get to it. Tiger Woods' performance in the 83rd Masters Tournament was as improbable as it was remarkable. 2 years ago, there were days he could not walk. 2 years ago, he could not lay on the floor and play Legos with his son. 2 years ago, most people, himself included, felt like he might no longer be capable of playing the game he played so well he would revolutionize it and capture the imagination of the globe along the way. His back was so painful, a resurgence seemed impossible. He told me so himself in March 2018, sitting outside the clubhouse at Medalist Golf Club. But back fusion surgery rewrote his fate. It offered him the possibility of a fruitful present life as a father. And somewhere along the way, he realized it also allowed him to swing a golf club again, pain-free. And on Sunday at Augusta, as the day progressed and his competitors began to falter, Tiger reminded us that the grandest of stages produce the grandest performances, and he just might be the best ever on the biggest stages, including the Masters. Augusta is an artist's canvas on which a week's worth of golf strokes combine like a painter's brush strokes and culminate in an historic masterpiece. Sunday, as Woods awaited his turn for a final putt, the massive assemblage was reverent, awestruck, and aware. I was standing there myself. We all knew we were watching history, and in some way, we were a small part of history. In a way, there was an air of humility at the acknowledgement that redemption is beautiful. As I stood there at 18, two men approached me and said, "We see ourselves in Tiger's victory. We're all capable of big mistakes, but we all have redemption." As Woods exited the course and hugged his son, most of us were reminded of 1997 when he exited the course and hugged his father. And Tiger said it reminded him of that too.
My dad shouldn't have come in 97. I mean, he had heart complications and wasn't supposed to fly, but he flew and came and gave me a putting lesson on Wednesday night, and, you know, the rest is history. My dad's no longer here, but my mom's here 22 years later. You know, I happened to win the tournament, and then to have both Sam and Charlie here. They were there at the British Open last year when I had the lead, you know, on that back nine, and I made a few mistakes and cost myself a chance to win the Open title. I wasn't going to let that happen to them twice. And so for them to see what it's like to have their dad win a major championship, I hope that's something they'll never forget.
This victory means many things. I wondered what it meant for golf, so I asked Brooks Koepka after his round. He smiled at my question and said, "It means 18 majors is a lot closer than people think." The most meaningful part of this moment for Tiger Woods is that his children get to see their father be great at the game of golf.
I think the kids are starting to understand how much this game means to me and some of the things I've done in the game. Prior to this comeback, they only knew that golf caused me a lot of pain. If I tried to swing a club, I'd be end up on the ground. I struggled for years, and that's basically all I remember. Luckily, that I've had the procedure where that's no longer the case, and I can do this again. And so, you know, we're creating new memories for them, and it's just very special.
"I just hope my kids are proud of their dad," Woods told us, sitting there at the podium in his green jacket. "They're proud, Tiger. I saw it myself." As Woods left the course and walked through the patrons, trademark smile beaming, ear to ear, he held his son's hand with one of his hands and fist pumped the other. And together they yelled, "Father and son, yes, we did it." What an unbelievable moment, not just in golf, but throughout sport. And even in society, one of the greatest comeback stories of all time. And to give us more perspective on what this means not only to the game of golf, but to society in general, let's bring in Jimmy Roberts once again. Jimmy's been with us all week, breaking down the tournament and giving us his perspective from so many years of covering it. Jimmy, of course, is the voice of Masters Digital, an NBC broadcaster, and covered his first Masters in 1991. What better way to break down an historic moment here at the Masters as Tiger Woods earns his fifth green jacket in dramatic fashion? And I'm just at a loss for words, so I'm going to lean on Jimmy Roberts, the voice of Masters Digital, of course, also with NBC Sports. Jimmy, just first, how do you describe what you just saw?
Well, let's just, Marty, for a moment, try and get unemotional about it and break it down in terms of facts. So it's 22 years since he won here for the first time. That's kind of a remarkable period of time. The symmetry between what happened 22 years ago and what happened today, I think, will be talked about for a while. I was here. I remember his father hugging him, you know, and now him coming off the green and hugging his son. You know, I think that's something that if you're a parent, you know, or somebody's child, which we all are, it can touch you. I mean, I think over the years, Tiger hasn't necessarily been a sympathetic character, but I really find it hard for anybody to have witnessed what happened today and not be touched deeply. So that's number one. Unemotionally, though, you know, so it's win number 80. So it's Masters number 5, which now moves him past Arnold Palmer and puts him one behind Jack Nicklaus. So it's now PGA Tour win number 81, which puts him one behind Sam Snead for the all-time. It's major number 15, which puts him three behind Jack Nicklaus. And the thing that I think is really interesting that, you know, may have been lost in, you know, in all the pandemonium today. So he's won the first major championship of the year, the next major championship of the year, and the next two major championships of the year, as a matter of fact, are both being contested at places where he has won, Pebble Beach and Bethpage. So he's in good form and going back immediately to play the next two majors at places where he has some good experience. So there's a lot of complexity to what happened today. And, I mean, like you said, I don't even know where to start.
After the round, I was over by the gaggle of reporters near the big oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was chatting with Brooks Koepka, who himself had a tremendous tournament and a tremendous final round.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him what this day means for golf. And he smiled that grin, and he said, "It means 18's not nearly as far away as people think it is."
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that statement?
You know, I had said, I was, for the last however many years, I've been saying the same thing. People would ask me, and this is before he won at East Lake, people were saying, "Is he going to break Jack's record?" And I said, "I don't think he's going to break Jack's record." No, I didn't say I don't think. I said, "He's not going to break Jack's record, but he is going to break Sam Snead's record." You know, I think the thing that happened today, which really gives you pause, is that his putting was really pretty darn good, you know, and that's the thing that I thought would kind of be the problem for him. You know, he talked about how his driving was good and he could work the ball both ways. Look, he was still, I think, in the end, like 55th out of 65 who made the cut in terms of driving accuracy. He missed, and I could have the stats wrong, he missed 20 fairways. And on those 20 fairways that he missed, he was even par.
Wow.
So on those holes where he missed the fairway, he was even par. You know, there was some good fortune, but it's not really fair to attribute it to good fortune. You know, it's a bunch of it is skill. I think what this means for golf is it's an enormous thing. You know, he's back. He's back. I mean, he's totally back. You know, he's not who he was, because I don't think anybody will ever be who he was. And I think the circumstances are a lot different right now. But he's back.
A major turning point in his assault to that fifth green jacket was 12,
mm-hmm.
when Brooks Koepka goes in the water just before him. Tony Finau and Francesco Molinari playing with him both go in the water. And all of a sudden, the complexion of the entire tournament changed.
Mm.
You could see it on Molinari's face even.
Mm.
What was the impact of that hole from your perspective?
Oh, I think, you know, and Tiger said it afterwards. He said that's when everything changed. Well, for, you know, let's just do the math. After that hole, he was tied for the lead. So he was now tied for the lead. Molinari now had lost his lead. And, you know, they moved to 13, and he got another good break there. He hit his tee shot left, and it just went right through the top of the trees. Now, he may have been trying to hit it over the trees. It's entirely possible, but he didn't. But it just went right through the treetops like a plane going through the clouds and, you know, ended up in the fairway in, you know, the A1 position. That's when everything changed. That's when everything changed.
The biggest thing about this accomplishment is the evolution of the man.
Mm-hmm.
He went from this young, brash assassin to someone who fell from grace, to someone who had a debilitating back condition, and then he got a second lease when he had the back fusion surgery. And somewhere along the way, he realized, I can swing a golf club again. He had back fusion surgery so that he could be a present father and live a life without pain. And to see what he's doing is, if it's not the greatest comeback story in the history of sport, and I know we're in the moment. Mm-hmm. We're only, what, an hour removed from him putting the jacket on his back or something. So we're prisoners of the moment. But nonetheless, I can't think of anything more remarkable than this in the annals of sport comebacks.
Okay, I would only say this. I can. There's one that supersedes it, and it's in the same sport. So in February of 1949, Ben Hogan was in a head-on car collision with a Greyhound bus. Dove over the front seat to try and save his wife. He spent 2 months in the hospital. He came back a year and a half later and won the U.S. Open. Ben Hogan almost died. Ben Hogan never played the PGA Championship again after that because it necessitated walking 36 holes in a day. When Ben Hogan won the U.S. Open at Marion, he had to wrap his legs every night. He was in extraordinary pain. Now, having said that, I really don't want to take away from what Tiger's been through and obviously his comeback. You know, there were other aspects to how far he had fallen, and it wasn't just the physical. It was, you know, the circumstantial and, you know, some of the self-inflicted wounds. What he's been through and where he's come back from, it's remarkable. You know, it really, really is remarkable. And, you know, the funny thing is we're talking about a comeback in the context of this day, you know, coming back from being behind. First time that he's ever come back to win a major championship. All 14 of his previous major championships, he was the leader. He's never come from behind to win a major until today. So it's just a new layer to this. And I mean, the story is, if we didn't know so much about this guy, it would probably be an even bigger deal. But it seems like there isn't anything about this guy that we don't know. Listen, golf is a hard game, and you can't play defense. You can't control what other people do, and you have to hope that when you have your best day, someone doesn't have a better one. But all the stars were aligned today, you know, for him to do it here. I just think I'm really curious to see how this plays over the next couple of days. I remember when he won in 1997, and I remember what a big deal it was culturally. I remember that President Clinton at the time came calling for him because I want to say it was the 50th anniversary. Let me just get the dates right. 97, 50 would have been 47. 50th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. And there was going to be a celebration in New York. And Tiger, for a number of reasons, decided he couldn't make it. But the point was, is that everybody, the President of the United States, wanted him. I wonder how this is going to play the next couple of days outside of this small little bubble that we all live in. You know, I know that we're all, even the most hardened cynics among us, can't help but to acknowledge the gravity of what's happened. But I think the real kind of social consequence of something like this is when you kind of take the measure of it outside of our four walls.
You noted a few moments ago the number of layers, and there's a lot of layers to this tremendous story. And to me, the most impactful one is the first thing you said when we sat down, and that is children were here.
Mm-hmm.
You can see in his eyes and in his cadence when he's speaking that the opportunity to show his children his greatness and what it really looks like is extremely impactful to him. Not just important and not just something that he enjoys, but it's something that you can tell he never dreamed he would have the opportunity to do for them because he was hurting. Mm-hmm. And I would like to know where this ranks for him as a result of that. And I wonder what you saw from him in the press conference from that.
Well, I will say this. You know, I've been around Tiger since he was an amateur. And he is a changed man. I mean, nobody knows what goes on in a person's home. I can just tell you from the way he comes across, in terms of the way he deals with people now, for instance, there was a lot of repetitive stuff in the press conference. People are trying to get their questions, their angles. You know, the old Tiger, and I've seen him do this many times, is, you know, he really doesn't never suffer fools gladly, or even if they weren't fools, you know, you might have heard him dismiss people because he didn't want to answer a question again. He's a much kinder person, I think, outwardly, and I'm guessing that's because he's a parent. You know, being a parent changes us.
So does redemption.
Yeah, that
redemption is beautiful.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. It's a powerful story. You know, I mean, he has been as big a deal as there could have been, and he's fallen as low as you could possibly fall. He has suffered physical injuries. He has suffered public humiliation. He has been to a lot of places. And so for him to be where he is right now, it's really, I mean, it's an extraordinary, he's a phoenix, you know. I mean, he's, like I said, he hasn't always been a sympathetic figure. So there are going to be a lot of people out there who won't give him the benefit of the doubt when it comes to this. And there are a lot of people who are just sick and tired of hearing about Tiger. But, you know, it's undeniable that what happened today was, and you said it before, in your eyes, you know, the greatest comeback story of all time. And I think it's reasonable. There are a lot of people, I've been on social media since the last putt dropped and seeing what people are saying. And there are a lot of people who feel that way. And, you know, it was very, very powerful. I am curious. I want to see how this plays out over the next couple of days. I'm curious to see what people's real true reaction to it is going forward. And I'm also really curious to see, as we move along in the golf calendar, you know, the next major championship is at Bethpage, where he won the U.S. Open in 2002. I'll be very curious to see how he handles arriving there as the favorite, you know, and if he is able to, if he changes at all from this, you know, this person who has been humbled and who's seen the light, you know. I'd be very curious to see how he approaches things.
Just quickly on that note, in terms of schedule, he did say in the press conference that this will not alter his schedule. He's going to play less this year than he did last year. Felt like he was a little aggressive in his schedule last season. Ultimately, in terms of the people you said who might not be thrilled that he had this wonderful comeback and achieved this tremendous goal here at the Masters, I love what Ricky Fowler said. Ricky Fowler said, anybody who has anything negative to say, go find something else to do.
Yeah, well, listen, I think the people in golf, I mean, no one can appreciate this more than them. And it's hard to win these things.
It is.
You know, it's hard to win these things. I will say this. Beginning of the week, you know, we were all asked, what do you think? And I said that I thought he was one of the guys who you should put in a group, and I thought he might win. I thought it would be between Justin Rose, Tiger Woods, Ricky Fowler. Who else did I say?
Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin was in that group. But, you know, the point is, you know, Tiger always used to be that guy. Golf is a really difficult game to predict. So, for instance, this week, I might have thought Paul Casey would have played well. Well, you know what happened to Paul Casey? Paul Casey had a fever and was really sick on Thursday and Friday. Stuff like that happens in our lives, you know? But Tiger, you know, and so we were thinking about it. Who's the last person that got sick and won? And I'm sure that he's not the last, but I remember one of the years that we did Bay Hill, Arnold's tournament. Tiger got food poisoning, you know? It must have been years ago because he was still married. He got food poisoning, and he won anyway. He was sick as a dog playing the tournament, and he won anyway. The point is it's been a long time since you could show up the week of a tournament and you could say, who do you like? And it wasn't one person. It's the last person who was one person was this person. And before that, and really since he's been that person, it was, and you know, you could say, well, maybe it'll be one of these guys. But he occupies a unique place for a number of reasons, and that's one of them, because he was so dominant when he was playing. And two wins in a comeback does not dominance make. But I'd be very, very curious to see how this progresses competitively, you know, and where this goes to.
Such an accomplishment in a field riddled with parity. Think about everybody that played great. Brooks Koepka played tremendously well. Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, on and on. I mean, we can just – the amount of young men who played so great in this tournament, it's, what, 10 or 12 probably, maybe even 15. Jimmy, thank you so much for your insight, man, all week long. We appreciate it so much. It's wonderful to have it. And I know you have 7,000 other things to do.
We all have 7,000 other things to do, but it's been really, really a lot of fun being with you, Marty. I appreciate your enthusiasm for this. And I'm a big fan of the way you approach the world of sports.
Thank you.
As a fan and somebody who appreciates what's going on no matter what arena you're in. So it's good being with you.
Thank you, sir. Awesome. I tried to encapsulate what I saw and what I felt and what I believed was the patron experience on Sunday evening as Tiger Woods earns his fifth green jacket, just one shy now of Jack Nicklaus' record of six. This is one of those days that I'll look back and remember in vivid detail. It's one of those days that I'll be able to tell my own children and my own grandchildren someday, I cannot believe I was there to witness it myself. It was a transcendent day and a day of renaissance where one of the greatest ever at his chosen trade, where one of the greatest ever at his passion reminded us once again that he is great. And as I said in the essay, it's a beautiful reminder that we all have redemption and that redemption is indeed beautiful. It's been an honor beyond words for me to have the blessing of hosting the Four Please Now Driving official Masters podcast throughout this entire week here at Augusta National Golf Club. I can't thank each of you enough for listening. We've thoroughly enjoyed bringing you the Masters in a new way, and we look forward to doing it again in the future. Good night from Augusta National Golf Club and the 83rd Masters Tournament, where Tiger Woods wrote history once again and is your champion.